Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon to you, Steve Jones Show, Wednesday edition, April 11, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here, Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. StevejonesShow.com, our website. 3 months of shows are always archived there, so if you hear an interview that you want to catch again, you can always go to the podcast page, StevejonesShow.com, and also we can send the episodes right to your smartphone and tablet when you subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, available on both iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Once our shows are done live on WKOK, we post them on iTunes, Google Play. Podcasts available anytime, anywhere. A little quick change to tell you about here at the jump. We were scheduled to have Jason Lockin for the terrific NFL Insider from CBS Sports. He was scheduled to join us today at 3:35. I just heard from Jason. We're going to move his interview back to tomorrow, Thursday, 4:35 Eastern. So we'll move Jason to 4:35 tomorrow. Had another interview that was supposed to be done earlier in the day with a member of the Green Bay Packers, but the interview got bumped into our slot, so we're going to move Jason back to tomorrow. So he will definitely be on. Jason, actually not too long ago, posted NFL Draft First Round Sleepers on CBSSports.com, so we'll definitely get his take on that and how he thinks the chips will fall into place in the first round of the NFL Draft, which is just a little over 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow on April the 26th from Jerry World. For sure today at 4:06, we will have Tom Moore on the show. I believe this will be his first time on the show joining us, a columnist from the Bucks County Courier-Times. Tom will be en route to Wells Fargo tonight to watch the regular season finale between Philadelphia and the Milwaukee Bucks. The 76ers looking to continue that all-time regular season winning streak, which is currently sitting at 16. Tonight they go for 17. And then once the regular season wraps up tonight, we will find out who the Sixers will play. A win tonight, for sure, they will lock up the number 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. Sticking with basketball and sticking with Philadelphia, National Player of the Year Jalen Brunson, he will be leaving Villanova, going to go to the NBA draft. The point guard swept the National Player of the Year awards after a remarkable junior season. 6'3" prospect announcing his intentions earlier today. Quote unquote from Brunson, "While I pride myself on remaining disciplined and focused to achieve these goals, I've established lifelong relationships with my teammates, classmates, members of the basketball staff, and the wonderful educators and administrators of this prestigious university." I believe he graduated in 3.5 years. Either 3 or 3.5. Brunson averaged 18.9 points, 4.6 assists, and 3.1 rebounds per game, with a title-winning Wildcats, who never won by fewer than 12 points, dominating the NCAA tournament. Brunson projects as a late first round or early second round draft pick. could be enticing for a team looking for a quality backup with the ability to develop into a starting caliber player in the right system. So we'll stay in Philadelphia for this one. Nick Foles is a lot of things. Super Bowl winning quarterback, future pastor, and contrary to what some critics say, a starting caliber signal caller in today's National Football League, and now he is an author. A couple of months after helping the Eagles capture their first ever Lombardi Trophy, the backup quarterback is rolling out a book that he co-wrote with a sports writer and children's minister, Joshua Cooley, calling it Believe It, My Journey of Success, Failure, and Overcoming the Odds. Set to release June 26th, documents a behind-the-scenes look at Nick's unlikely path to the Super Bowl. So Eagles fans, look for that at the end of June, a new book from Nick Foles. NHL playoffs get going tonight. Three games tonight, four tomorrow. Tonight, the showdown for the Keystone State, the Battle of Pennsylvania, gets going. Your defending two-time Stanley Cup champions, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they'll be at home tonight to take on the Flyers at 7. Also tonight, you've got Minnesota at Winnipeg. And out west, game one, round one, the Kings against the Vegas Golden Knights. And other series get going tomorrow. The Devils at Tampa Bay, Toronto at Boston, Columbus at the Capitals, Colorado at Nashville, and San Jose at Anaheim. So you have five games tomorrow. And then the teams that play tonight, they'll be back on the ice on Friday night for game two of those respective series. And bad weather is putting a damper on plans for some college football programs' spring games happening this weekend. Michigan has joined a group of schools opting to cancel their spring scrimmage because of impending thunderstorms throughout the Midwest. Due to a limited number of spring practices remaining for the team, Michigan announced earlier today that it will not reschedule their situational scrimmage for Saturday, which was going to be open to the public. Wisconsin, they've scratched their spring football game. And Iowa State as well. Some other schools in the region also altering their plans this week in order to play their spring games. Minnesota and head coach P.J. Fleck, they will have their game tomorrow night. He says it's not an option. They're going to play.
That's because they can row the boat.
That's right. No matter how much rain they'll get.
Yeah. Now, if you're wondering why they can't put it off a week, right? People, well, why can't you put it off a few days? Why can't you put it off a week? Play next weekend instead. You only get X amount of practices, and you only have X amount of time to do it. I think it's like 15 in like 31, 32 days or something like that. Well, if you started 31, 32 days ago, you can't go to day 39 to play it. That's the reason why. Yeah. So that's what... So if you're wondering about that, you just can't do it. Can't. All right. Well, great to be here. Did you see the ratings from the final half hour yesterday?
Pretty crazy.
Off the charts. With the suit talking about his life as a playing Stratomatic golf, it was. And that now explains, like, when we go to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club and we play in the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament like we will on May 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He sort of plays like it's Stratomatic. I mean, we got to the first hole last year. Remember that? And all of a sudden, like, you know, I hit, Craig hits. Chief hits, and then he takes out and he rolls dice. I'm like, what are you doing?
Maybe he still has the old Stratomatic game out in the garage in an old cardboard box. Maybe he can dust it off and bring it to the club, and while we're out on the course, he can hang on the patio for anyone that wants to play Stratomatic all day.
I wonder how many people still have their Stratomatic games.
That'd be cool to find out.
I'd love to know that. I would love to know how many people still have their Stratomatic games. Of any kind. I don't care if it's football, basketball, hockey, baseball. Yeah. golf, whatever it may be. That's, it would kind of be kind of fun to find out if people still have that game or not. We talked actually a good chunk of the show about that yesterday, because I mean that's, that kind of takes people back in time. And Doug then got a hold of the show yesterday and pointed out that a mathematics genius at Bucknell's the one that invented it. That was just one of those fun go back in time conversations.
Yeah, that was great to hear from Doug Byerly on our Facebook page. Don't forget, you can like us on Facebook. Send us a message there anytime. At one time, actually, Doug was on the Bucknell Bison Radio Network with Doug Birdsong for that Bucknell, Kansas game in 2005. I kind of wonder on all those road trips that those guys did, you know, out in the road going from game to game, I would not be surprised if maybe Stratomatic was brought up.
Well, probably they were sitting at a Wendy's.
Yeah.
I got Doug's MO here. Probably sitting at a Wendy's, they may have. Penn State did get a letter of intent signed today in basketball. 6'7" guard. Russian background. Oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah, I have LinkedIn. Trent Dilfer wants to connect on LinkedIn. Should I say yes?
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, sure, why not? Yeah, I like Trent. I never met him, but I like his work on the air. Never met him.
I'd reached out to him on LinkedIn. At that time, he was still with ESPN, to have him join us on the show, but it was getting closer to the season, and didn't work out, but hey, maybe we'll...
I'll try it again, because now he's, you know... Yeah, like, oh yeah, give it a shot. You know, he knows his stuff. Very much so. But I was mentioning earlier that... Penn State did get a signed letter of intent, this being the second Wednesday in April. The late signing period opens up, and Daniel Kaskinen, 6'7", combo. Look, this is a guy that he can pass, sees the floor well. He's a good shooter. He had 40% of his threes this year. He had 85% of his free throws. I mean, the numbers tell you that he can shoot. And he averaged 14 points, 4 boards a game, and 40% in threes, 85% in free throws as a senior. Now, he is from Russia, from Ivanovo, Russia. I don't know if he has a Facebook page. Just kidding. But he'll, you know, he obviously brings some international experience to the table. But he's played high school basketball in Virginia the last 2 years, and we all knew he was there. We all knew it. You know, he'd already verbally committed and so forth. So, combo guy, playmaker. That's what they're looking for from him, and he's now a part of the program. And he officially signed today. So, all right, we'll take a break. It was fun yesterday, the last part of the show, because by talking about Stratomatic, it kind of brought forward like the suit's strong points in sports, like that fantasy stuff. Okay, we'll come back. What? Do they have Stratomatic IndyCar?
I have to Google that.
No, don't waste your time. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. great to have you with us on the show today. Penguins and Flyers open the playoffs tonight. Wow. And we're going to preview it for you. And so the Stanley Cup playoffs kind of did away. Here's the problem the Flyers have with the Penguins. You got to take it, obviously, a shift at a time, a period at a time, game at a time, and so forth. But the Penguin power play is absolutely superior. You think of all the great players the Penguins have had in their history. You know, I mean, to have Lemieux and Yager and Ron Francis all in the power play at the same time. Okay. This power play actually set the franchise record for best ever power play at 26%, and the Flyers were third from the bottom. They were 28th in killing penalties this year. That's a crusher. That's a big-time crusher. That they don't have that ability to kill penalties against a team that is superior on the power play. I mean, the Penguins beat them all four times this year, and the Penguins scored 20 goals in those four games. So there's your issue. Now, what do the Flyers have that the Penguins have to be worried about? Flyers have two really good offensive defensemen. You're going to have to forecheck the Flyers really well, because they have two guys that can carry the puck and make plays. You have to force the Flyers to play a 200-foot game with those two defensemen. And the other part is, Elliott's played really well in goal for the Flyers, but conversely for the Penguins, Matt Murray, since coming back from the concussion, numbers haven't been great. All right. Bottom of the hour. Jason Luckenfor is going to join us today. He's going to join us tomorrow instead. Perfectly fine. I can predict that very little is going to change between today and tomorrow. Just give us something else to look forward to. Always look forward to hearing from you at 1-800-795-9565. Sean and Steve with you on this Wednesday afternoon. More coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
We upgrade all the time.
My computer.
My TV.
My phone.
Isn't it time you upgraded your vehicle? Upgrade your trade now at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's the first annual Upgrade Your Trade event. Now is the time, because SMC is making it easier than ever with above market value for your trade and 0% financing for up to 75 months on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serenos. 0% for 66 months on 2018 Kia Souls and Sedonas. And 0% for 60 months on 2018 Kia Rios and Niros. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Plus, there's over 25 Kia certified pre-owned vehicles on the lot, priced to move. It's the first annual Upgrade Your Trade event at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing. In lieu of rebate, excludes Kia Stinger and Cadenza. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see Kia or go to Kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
They also say on-air fighting leads to distracted driving. Did you ever hear that one? No? Battles? Or here's something that leads to distracted driving. Uttering the words, the suit.
Ooh. Hands on the wheel. 10 a.m. Hey. And 2 p.m. Safety first.
10 and 2. Come on. You there on Route 61 on the bridge. Hey, hang on. All right. Okay, just hang on. I am looking forward to coming down there. It's, what, two weeks? 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
3 weeks from today.
All right.
Wow. 570-286-5636. That's a number for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA in Sunbury. Join us.
Let's bring your buddies together. Let's sell this out.
Yes.
Let's sell this out. Looking forward to it. Let's have some fun, but sell it out. I mean, the cause. I mean, the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, big time.
Yeah, if you're an early riser, join us for a little golf in the morning, a little lunch. Hang with us on the patio for the show.
Yeah, but remember last year, the faux pas that happened when we all set up and the suit came in and he did something very generous. He said, look, I bought croissants. I'm like, oh. the two of us looked at each other like, well, what's going on here?
It was foggy at that time.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
All right. He said, I got some croissants. I'm like, oh. Oh, well. Okay, so Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa State, all no spring games this weekend. Because it's not snow, I guess. I guess they're looking at a severe thunderstorm watch.
Yes.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's going to play on Friday night because PJ has a boat. He talks about rowing all the time, this sort of. So they're going to play Friday night. And here is no issue. Now, what do you get out of this? There, when you set up these practices, there are different tests that you want to see your players go through. How do you handle doing four-minute offense? How do you handle doing four-minute defense? How do you handle putting the ball on the 20-yard line, boom, coming out? How do you handle red zone? How do you handle, you know, both sides? How do you handle a walkthrough? Walkthroughs are really important as long as your players understand and take it seriously. All these elements. How do you handle the mundane part of a drill? Are you getting the most out of a drill that is a drill but not actually being done in a 11-on-11 type setting? How do you handle all these things? So you see that, especially from the younger players who are going to be playing more this year. So then what do you get out of the blue-white game? Well, if it's done right, and James does do it right, you get the opportunity to now see some of these younger players that haven't had their opportunity, especially. How do they handle it under the lights of the crowd? How do they handle it? You know, the lights are now on. A crowd is there. If it's a nice day, which you're really hoping for, you're talking about between 60 and 80,000 fans there. Well, none of these players have ever actually played in front of 60 to 80,000 players. I'm talking about the younger ones. I don't mean the Trace McSorleys of the world or Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders has a bowl touchdown, for goodness sakes. But I'm talking about how does C.J. Thorpe handle it? How does Des Holmes handle it? Mike Miranda, Sean Clifford, Jonathan Sutherland, Micah Parsons, Donovan Johnson. How do they handle it? Hunter Kelly. I mean, there's certain people that you want to see. Fred Hansard. Fred Hansard. I think you're going to hear that Fred Hansard's done pretty well during the course of this spring, as an example. And when you look at a guy like him, he's never performed. I mean, he's gone out there and he's stretched and he's warmed up, but he's never had to go out and play. So that's the next test. How do you get out there and how do you play when it is in front of a crowd? How do you react? It's one thing to react on a closed practice field in Hulubah Hall. I mean, I think James wants to go. I mean, I doubt they can do it today, but I know James wants to go outside so badly right now and get them out there. Just haven't had a chance to do it. You're not going to get meaningful work in the spring with no game at the end of this week. So there's no need for you to go out and get outside until you absolutely have to. But at some point, you do want to get out there.
He's always liked to get in Beaver Stadium at least once before the Blue White game. Will that be this weekend, you think?
I think he would like to. We'll see if he does or not. But I think idealistically he would like to.
Since the weather sounds really good for Saturday.
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. Now, there's pros and cons to that. I mean, the pro is going to be warm. It's going to be nice. A lot of outdoor activity. But, you know, there's negatives with everything. I mean, suit's going to want to go shirtless. It's just like certain things. He's like, I don't know. I think you just became ill. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
Don't close your eyes and think about it.
That's the problem.
Don't do that.
Is that momentary lapse?
Yeah. Emphasis on lapse.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't describing a Pink Floyd album.
No, you were not. So those are the different things you want to get out of it. Now, they still have, let's see here. 1, 2, 3. I want to say that this is practice 11 today. Yeah. Today's practice 11. And that's where you are. And if you're wondering how's a guy like Miles Sanders been doing, Miles Sanders has been doing very well. I really, really like how he's performing. Now, there was an article, Ariel Sargent wrote it, and she wrote it late last week. Late last week? No, in fact, I think it came out Monday. So, Sanders is 211 pounds. Okay, 211. Okay. His body fat is 8%. I've got that in my hand. I mean, 8% body fat. Ay, 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 ay. The part I like about what he's doing is that I think he's catching the ball really. Look, it's obvious he can run. But he's been catching the ball really well. And not only that, I mean, a lot of people really want to see him succeed. There's a couple of reasons. James, when he first came in, that initial press conference, says, hey, look, I want to dominate the state. Well, dominating the state, it was Miles Sanders who got everything started with the Pennsylvania Player of the Year coming to Penn State, which was then followed by Lamont Wade coming to Penn State, which was then followed by Micah Parsons coming to Penn State. And not only that, to his credit, in an era where everybody wants to play and wants to play now, and believe me, Miles Sanders is a competitor. He wanted to play right away. But he has been able to wait, patiently wait his turn. Now, how much patience there was, you know, that's interesting. Because I'm sure there are moments he may not have been internally patient. I mean, how can you when you're a person of that skill level? But he maintained that. And when you look at Tommy Stevens and you look at Miles Sanders, it says volumes about them as young men that they've been able to, despite their skill sets, somehow patiently as a good teammates, pick their spots but still wait their turn. And it says volumes about Penn State that the place and the setup that James Franklin has put together as a football program and Penn State's put together with a fan base and an athletic department, that they felt that this was the best place for them.
Yeah, when you bring up setup, you go back about a minute or two earlier that when you're talking about 8% body fat, kudos to Dwight Gault and the amazing job that he has done. I mean, some people were wondering how the strength and conditioning was going to go when Craig Fitzgerald left to join Billy down in Houston. By the way, Craig is now at Tennessee. For those that didn't know, he's now with he's now joined the Tennessee staff. He's no longer with the Texans, but yeah, it's just incredible, just the conditioning and the amazing job the players have done in the off season for their workout programs that Dwight's put them through.
Well, it's Deej up front, his son Deej the fourth, Chuck, Alvin. They've done great work with these players. That's why Penn State combined out so well. That's why you notice in the fourth quarter, Penn State looks fresh in the fourth quarter. That's why in basketball, Dick Girardi and I were talking about the job Greg Maskinis has done. Did you see in basketball how in the fourth quarter, Penn State was fresh every game? And we're talking about games 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39. Okay, we're not talking about games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're talking about 34 through 39. Fresh. Same thing in football. Fresh fourth quarter. Great combine numbers. But Miles Sanders, Jack and I talked to Miles. We had him on the postgame show. But then when we got back to the hotel, Jack and I ran into him in the plaza. And Jack and I probably talked to Miles for maybe 10 minutes. And one of the two of us said something about going back to work, and he says, oh, I'm going back to work. He says, 1 week, and I'm going back to work on that Monday. He says, Monday the 8th, I'm going back to work. And I said, well, at least I said, give yourself a little time to, I'm talking about the upcoming week, to enjoy it. He says, yeah, the second that weight room opens, he says, I'm getting in there. Now, that tells you, again, that's not a, obviously, it's a private conversation I feel very comfortable in relaying, because it's something that I think is interesting for the fans to know. And I think Miles would love everybody to know what kind of dedicated work ethic he has. That's the kind of dedicated work ethic he has. I always have appreciated athletes, whatever scale they happen to be, from good to great. I've always appreciated the ones above all that never took their own personal talent for granted. Unfortunately, once in a while, you'll run into somebody that just kind of goes along and they do take it for granted, and they're able to get away with it because they are awesome athletes. And then you've got some that are awesome athletes that don't take it for granted, and you can see they take it to another level because they do. Well, Miles Sanders is one of those guys, just like Saquon Barkley is one of those guys. Saquon Barkley never took his natural talent for granted. Part of that happens to be was that, look, when he was in high school, when he first got there, he was a skinny kid who could run, but the weight room was not an awesome area for him. He had to work to get himself to be a weight room. I mean, if you see how much his body has changed in 7 years, because I'm going back to when he was a sophomore in high school, it's amazing. Because he worked at it. Work, 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 work. And you see that with all those guys. Marcus Allen's a worker. Gesicki's a worker. The guys they've got coming back on this team. McSorley's a worker. Clifford's a worker. Stevens is. Tompkins. Nick Scott. I'll tell you, Parsons loves working out. I mean, they get in there and they work. Sharif Miller, work. That's what you like about it. This team has a really, really good work ethic. And it's paying off big time. It paid off at the combine, but it's paid off in games. It also shows the work ethic they have, because work ethic in the weight room applies to work ethic on the practice field, too, and in the game. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Great to be talking some football today. Did you see what Eastern Michigan is doing? Eastern Michigan is cutting four sports. They are cutting men's and women's swimming, softball, and wrestling. Now, the wrestling program goes by the boards. They will end up, in the end, 58 male student-athletes and 25 female student-athletes will be out when it's all said and done. They are running a, they say they're, it'll save the athletic department about $2.2 million. And again, this goes back to what we've talked about. About paying athletes and so forth. Look, you know, in a perfect world, well, I mean, you got football, you got men's basketball. All right, well, you know, you got to like take a look at the money being brought in, how much you're paying for tickets, parking, TV contracts, shoe contracts, you know, everything else. Yeah, but again, athletic departments. Athletic departments are not raking in tons and tons of money. Again, 13 athletic departments in the Big Ten, fiscal year ending June 30th of last year. One, Northwestern doesn't have to report their numbers. They're a private school. But the other 13 have to report their numbers. Well, six of the 13 are running deficits, including Wisconsin of all schools. I mean, if you were to make a guess looking at the sellouts at Camp Randall and the sellouts at the Kohl Center for football and men's basketball, and plus the bowl money and NCAA money, you'd think they'd be all right. They're $6 million in the red. So this is a far more complicated, I think, than people realize.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.